sing it out, for the Lord is good. And shout it out loud, you are glorious. Glorious. Shout it out and glorious. Make it loud and Jesus, we shout your name. Jesus, we make your praise glorious. You are glorious.
My God, you reign
forever and ever.
How great your name.
Sing it out, for the Lord is good. Shout it out loud, you are glorious. Glorious. Shout it out and glorious. Make it loud and Jesus, we shout your name. Jesus, we make your praise.
Save their snow removal for after church.
A few of you.
That's okay. I did just enough to get out of the driveway so I didn't have to wake up a little bit earlier. I saw it last night, but it's always a struggle. Do you do it in the morning or do it in the evening? Praise God. So we're in the middle of a series. Actually, it's the whole thing. If this is your first time, we've recently started a series for the whole year, really. It's called God's Word for Life. And it's put out by the UPCI. And what it is it's a curriculum that is being taught by the pastoral staff on Sunday mornings at the 10 a.m. It's the same curriculum that's being taught at a much different level at each grade in the children's ministries. And it's also being taught in the youth ministry. So what happens is after we speak, so last week, and we'll go to this in a minute, you get a little handout, which has 5 or 6 pages in it, and it has a little devotional for you every day. It could take you 5 minutes or an hour, whatever you feel, a little reading of a verse that pertains, and it's been really awesome to see. So for those of you that have done that and have read this. So this is, we're in series 2 right now. You see that with the big number 2 on the left. And then at the top, it says series 2. The whole idea that we're doing in series 2 is standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God. And we'll call it number 1, Pastor Roy spoke, and we learned about Abraham and the promises God made to Abraham, right? And in that one, that was called Receiving the Promise. Week 2, we talked about Isaac and God's and Abraham sacrificing, going to sacrifice Isaac and God saying no. And that lesson was all about God wants our all. Okay? Now, what's interesting is if you're following along, if you have children, you have the little children's Bible, the little children's devotional that you could be using. The children's devotional has little words that go along with it. So remember 2.1 I said is receiving the promise. The thought for the kids that week that you can go over on a daily basis is God blesses those who have faith in him. Week 2 for the adults was all about God wants our all. Talked about Abraham and his sacrifice of Isaac. And for us, the note we shared with our children throughout the week was God sees and rewards those who sacrificially give to him. And so now this week, if we talked about Abraham in week 1 and we talked about Abraham and Isaac in week 2, where do you think we're going in week 3? Jacob. That's awesome. It's wrong, but it's awesome. But that's the point. That's a really great thought, Brother Kerry. That's a really great thought, because that's exactly where I thought we were going. So, how many people had a chance to flip through this at some point, maybe once, maybe more than once? Was it good? Did you like it? Did you learn something last week in 2.2? Yeah, there's some good stuff in there. Some of the stuff they said about history, and I think there was one about a battle with General Wellington and Napoleon. Like, there's some really interesting stuff there that really brings it home. So I'm really excited about it. So this week, hold on. My voice is not all there today. This week, our focus verse is Genesis 25, 33 through 34. We're going to read that here in just a second. But the text for the whole week, when you get your 2.3, on the way out, the text for the whole week is Genesis 25, verses 24 through 34. That's 11 verses. And 27, 15 to 29, another 15 verses. So not a lot for the week, okay? It's just about a chapter or two. So let's go ahead and put that on the screen. Genesis 25, 33 through 34. And it says this, "And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." I think there's something that we're going to glean here as we start going through these. The Bible is a collection of really cool stories and some really boring books like Leviticus, right? But even there, I know, Jerry, I know. Some people have, like, I like numbers. Most people don't like numbers. I know you like Leviticus, right? But it's a collection of stories. And sometimes we look at it like, oh, that's a cool story, these two guys, and he grabbed his heel, and, you know, that's cute. But I think there's so much more to it that if we're reading God's word, there's always a lesson we can draw from it. And actually, there's probably more than one lesson, but we're going to try to, in each one of these stories, and Pastor Roy did it the first 2 weeks, what is a lesson we can glean from this that impacts our life in an impactful way? So let's try to find that in this lesson. How many people do the whole, like, hey, go to garage sales? How many people like to go to garage sales? No, some people, yeah. I don't mind it from time to time. Like a Goodwill or a thrift store, how many people do that? Yeah, yep. Now, do you go because you're like, hey, I can find good deals here? Or are you going, like, looking for a treasure? How many people go, like, looking for good deals? Like, hey, I can get a nice pair of shoes, right? Yeah. How many people go looking for, like, I'm going to find that thing that I can sell on eBay for $1,000. Jamin, yeah. Have you ever done it? Have you ever struck gold there? Not yet. Okay, that's okay. That's okay. So my mom, Pastor Phil, I don't think he's here right here, but he's a big Lego fan. I've had a lot of Legos in the past. My mom one time, she found a bag of Legos at like a thrift store or whatever. She's like, yeah, I'll give you $50 for it, right? Or $25, I don't know what. And she brought it to me. She's like, what's this worth? And I went through it. It was worth over $1,500. Legos. Fun fact, if you had bought Legos instead of stock 50 years ago, you'd be better off, just so you know. You'd have no room in your basement, but you'd be better off. So what about the opposite? How many people have had something super-duper valuable, and you maybe you knew it or maybe you didn't, and then you lost it or sold it or traded it. How many of those that happened to? So let me give you my example. When I was really little, my mom worked with the woman whose husband was the batting coach for the Oakland Athletics, a baseball team. Okay, he was a batting coach, and at the time he had this kind of round, redheaded guy on his team most people haven't heard of called Mark McGuire. Oh, yeah? You've heard of him, right? So she asked, hey, you know, my husband works with these players. Do you want some? I said, could I get a Mark McGuire baseball autograph? I got a Mark McGuire autograph baseball. I was like 12 years old, 10 years old, whatever it was, right? Okay, he was with the A's, mind you, the Oakland Athletics. Fast forward like 6 years, Mark McGuire becomes a member of the St. Louis Cardinals and for a time, with a lot of steroids, sets the record. I had to put that in there, Ryan, right? We got to make sure that the clean people are rewarded and the dirty people are, yes. So with a lot of steroids, he sets the home run record, right? And I was like, yes, I've got his baseball. I'm going to sell this thing. I got it for free. I'm going to sell this thing online, right? The only problem was I couldn't find the baseball. And then I remembered that I at one point, I started realizing, like, this guy's an idiot. I'm just going to use this baseball and start playing with it. And it probably was eaten by a dog or lost in the woods. And I was never able to cash in on that. I think I undervalued this. I undervalued this baseball that I probably could have sold maybe for a couple hundred bucks. I don't know. Now it's worth nothing. It's worth like a bottle of whatever the steroids are. So we think about the story, right? And we think about Jacob, what Brother Carey said. And we start reading through this. And we're not going to go through all the verses, but we're going to flip through some of this. So Jacob is born, and his name means supplanter. It also has connections to the word heel grabber in Hebrew. And when we see in the Bible, a lot of times in the Bible, people that have names, their names tend to describe something about the person who's been given the name. And we see that in this story, right? So we see that at birth, Jacob tried to supplant Esau as the firstborn. Even in the womb, they're like jostling. Like, I mean, we're mostly adults here, but like the womb is like, there's only one way, you know, to make your way through, right? And so like, and once you're in position, you're in position. And so like, they're both like trying to get their heads in there. Like, who's going first, right? They're jostling in. They're fighting for it. They were jostling for position. But Esau came out first. The birthright was Esau's. The birthright back then would contain the authority to one day lead the family after Isaac passed. But it was more than that for this family, because this family had a grandfather who was given the promise of God that he would have endless generations, and we could go back to it, all these huge, awesome blessings, and he would own the earth. So this wasn't just a normal birthright, like you get to lead the family, you get to control the remote control on Sundays, you know, that's not what it was talking about. It was literally more than that for this family. This is a special family. And that's where this got interesting to me. When all through the Old Testament, we start hearing the stories. After this one, it's like, oh, I pray to the God of who? Jerry, who do we pray? The God of Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's why Brother Carey said Jacob. But what's amazing is Esau was the one supposed to get the promise. He was the one that was supposed to get the promise from Isaac. It was his birthright, his promise. He was the one that was, we should have been saying Abraham, Isaac, and Esau all this time. But something happened. We see Jacob, part of his namesake, right? He's coveting this blessing, this birthright. He was blessed. He had great family with great money. They had a couple nice cars and garage and land, and he was going to do just fine, right? But he never got over the fact that Esau would get the blessing, the birthright. Instead of being happy or content with what he had, the blessings of God that were given to him, he wanted more. He was always comparing. Well, you know, Brother Jerry's got this. Brother Caskey's got this. Sister Lindsay has this. Maybe that's my, I've got a, right? That's a bad, let's not compare, little side lesson. God has a blessing for you and a path for you, right? I have to tell my kids all the time, this is the message. And I always quote the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, C.S. Lewis. The kids are always like, oh, that kid's getting in trouble. What about him? And Aslan the lion goes to him, he's like, worry about your own story. Let me and him worry about his story. And so that's a lesson we're trying to get my kids to learn. I think that'll fall flat on its face when they start getting to social media, because social media goes right in the face of that, because it's all about comparing. So little side lesson there. Don't compare. Yeah. I know none of us do it. We don't look at our neighbor, our friend, or our enemy, or the person sitting across the sanctuary and define contentment in our own lives based on what they have or don't. No, we would never do that. But Esau despised his birthright. He despised it. He seemed to value, you know what, let's cut out the word seem. He valued other things in his life more than his birthright. He didn't care about the birthright. Actually, in Genesis 25:34, it says, so Esau despised his birthright. And in this wording, you know what it means? Despise means to like disdain, to look down upon it. He thought he was above it. Like, whatever. It's just some stupid birthright. It's not a big deal. It's not worthy of me. I've got this. He said, it wasn't worthy of my time or my sacrifice. He despised it. It was less valuable to him than other things in his life. And so, Jacob conned Esau out of his birthright. He was out, Esau was out hunting. Jacob was at home cooking. Esau came back super duper hungry. I just need food. Esau's making some pottage, some lentil pottage, right? Porridge, soup, whatever, you know, stew, whatever you want to. And Esau goes, give me some of that stew. I need it. I'm really, really hungry. And this is the moment Jacob was waiting for. This was the opportunity to get the birthright. And so he goes quickly to Esau. Yeah, I got some soup for you. I got you. It's all good. But before I let you eat anything, you have to sell me your birthright. But because Esau, the birthright had become virtually valueless. It was trivial. No value. After all, if he died of hunger, birthright's worth nothing, right? It's just going to go to Jacob anyway. What good was a birthright to him anyway? Esau says, well, I'm about to die. I'd rather have a bowl of stew than a birthright. And in that moment, a bargain was struck that would alter the course of both men's lives forever. The heel grabber, the supplanter, finally conned his brother out of the one thing he wanted more than anything else in life. He did it. He achieved. That's why the story is about Jacob. Like, go get what you want, take it. As children of God, though, this is the lesson for us. The lesson is not to focus on Jacob, because I don't think that's where most of us are at. I think the lesson is to focus on Esau, because that resounds with us more. We are born again. We have become sons of God, as Paul says. We have become heirs to the kingdom of God, heirs to his blessings and birthright. At the moment God places his spirit inside of us and we are filled with the Holy Ghost, the most valuable possession we'll ever have, at that moment, we become heirs and sons of God. Sons of a king. But the benefits of that birthright for us don't end in this life. It's not just that we have to get to run the remote control, right? Instead, it also includes eternal life with God. Proverbs 23:23, a key verse that really means something here, is it says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and sell it not. It tells us to value truth. Now, we could spend time talking about valuing truth, but in this, we talk about wisdom and instruction and all that. I also want to say, let's buy the blessing. Buy the birthright. Buy the promises of God, and don't sell them for anything. Don't sell them for, how many people have had lentils? I did that Daniel fast like 4 years ago, and we tried to make a lentil. It was the worst thing. I just decided fasting is better than lentils. I was the opposite of Esau. I said, if I'm going to die, I would rather die than have lentils, right? I was the opposite. I wasn't as spiritual, like, give me Jesus. It was just more like, I'll just die than eat lentils, right? But that's the message today. That's our whole, the thing that we're going to be going through is to cherish God's blessings. When you see your handout today, there's always something in the top left corner says the lesson big idea. I really love this. Because the lesson big idea breaks everything down to one sentence. And while I'm not giving you an out here, I still recommend you spend time with God every day, because that's how we get to know him. But it's if you could walk away every week with the one thought, and this week it's, I will cherish my spiritual birthright and the blessings God has for my life. Last week, I like to remember what it was for the kids, but it says God sees and rewards those who give sacrificially to him. And that's what I'm going to try to remember. That's what I'm going to try to drive in my kids every week, is this one sentence. Maybe they don't remember every single thing. Maybe they remember a little bit of the story of Abraham and Isaac, and why would you try to kill your son, and maybe they didn't clean their room. No, just I didn't do that. I did not go there. but having some of the story to be thought of, but also this one thought. As we read through this story, we also see that they had a bit of a dysfunctional home life, right? They came from a dysfunctional home. That's saying something, because your parents probably had a, you know, your father was Isaac and his father was Abraham, and they owned all the land and they had all the cows and everything was great in their lives. But this was still a dysfunctional home. Once again, a side lesson there. You can have everything and still be dysfunctional. You can have everything and still have a dysfunctional home. Okay? There was tension there. I got to imagine this affected their relationships. I think you see the tension in how Jacob was favored by his mother and Esau was favored by his father. Like, even so much so that Rebecca is like working hard to help Jacob. Like, I'm going to make sure he gets into college. I don't really care if Esau does. I'm going to make sure he gets the great job or gets the great apprenticeship or gets the great, you know, whatever it is that's important. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I don't care about Esau. And meanwhile, the dad's like, I don't care what Esau gets. I don't really care what Jacob gets. So we see this dysfunction. And the ultimate end of that dysfunction is, not the end, but where we see it really stick out, is where Rebekah helped Jacob steal the blessing while Esau was gone. So Esau leaves. And he's leaving because their dad Isaac says, okay, Esau, I'm about to pass. I'm feeling it. Time's on. Time's going to be done for me. It's time for me to pass on the birthright. Which is interesting because he's already sold his birthright. He sold it to Jacob. But he's still like, I can still get this blessing from dad. Like, I've sold the birthright. He's going to run the remote control for the rest of the family. But I can still get the blessing. And so his dad's like, go out, cook me, you know, hunt some wild game, come back and cook me a stew. Well, dysfunction, right? Mom's on the other side of the tent curtain because those are not soundproof, just so we're all clear. Don't tell secrets on the other side of tent curtains. And so she's on the other side. She quickly goes to Jacob. She goes, quickly, let's make a stew. Go kill a goat. Let's make a stew. She was on this. It wasn't just let's make a stew with goat meat. She's like, okay, we'll take the fur from the goat. We'll put it on your hands and your arms, right? Here, Esau's clothes. He has an extra set laying around. They smell really gross, like some wild person. We're going to put these on. We're going to fool your dad. You might have to talk a little bit differently, but we're going to fool him. She is, like, he didn't need that much help. He was all for, you know, getting over on his brother, but she was all for it. And so they do this, and he brings the soup or the stew to his dad, and his dad's like, who is this? Who is this? And Jacob lied, and he goes, I'm Esau. And his dad, you're probably thinking, well, maybe I missed a part of the story there. I did. His dad can't see very well. He's almost blind at this point. He's just like, okay, where's my son? The stew smells good. He can't tell. Side note, you can't tell the difference apparently between goat and whatever the wild thing is in the desert, you know, camel or whatever they're eating back then. And so he's smelling the stew, and he's like, who are you? You smell like Esau. Like, your clothes feel like Esau. Your arms feel like Esau. Side note, once again, this is the fun stuff that I think about when I'm reading the Bible. Do you guys ever do this? You're reading the Bible, and yeah, you're trying to glean some good knowledge and really feel like God is speaking to you. What's in it for my life? And then you think, how hairy was Esau that goat skin fooled his dad? That's a hairy dude, right? They needed goat skin to fool his dad. Yeah, sorry, my brain. That's why I like the Bible. Sometimes I'm just like, that's interesting to me. Like, I like that, you know. Must have been a hairy dude. And so his dad's like, well, I feel the skin, but your voice, it sounds, yeah, no, I just, you know, it was a long night singing, you know, I was just, you know, maybe, you know, out in the, it was dry in the desert last night as I was hunting, but nope, that's me, I'm Esau. And so Isaac blesses Jacob. So now Jacob has the birthright, and now he gets the blessing. And this is what the blessing says in Genesis 27, 28 through 29. Isaac says this to Jacob. And before I start this, let me make sure we all understand that it meant something way more than like if today I just went to, you know, Sophie or Evelyn, my children, and said, Evelyn, I bless you. Now, I still believe there's power in that. And I do bless my kids and I ask God to bless my children. But back then, like, this man had the authority. He was just like, whatever I'm saying will happen because God is behind it. I want to be at that point someday. It's, you know, it's not there yet, but that's where we want to be. And so this is the blessing he gives to it wasn't just words, but he gives this blessing to Jacob, who he thought was Esau. He goes, may God give to you from the dew of the sky and from the richness of the land an abundance of grain and new wine. May peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brothers. May your mother's sons bow down to you. Those who curse you will be cursed, and those who bless you will be blessed. I think he covered it all. For a living, I work with contracts, and the whole idea is to have, like, cover everything in the contract. So if something goes wrong, you can be like, well, it's in the contract, right? He's literally covered everything here. He's like, everybody who curse you will be cursed, and those who bless you will be blessed. Nations are going to bow down to you. And then he snuck that line in. I love those little catch one-liners that we sneak in. He goes, be master over your brothers, and your mother's sons will bow down to you. We see that dysfunction again, right? It's like, there's a dysfunction. Yeah, Jacob's going to bow down to you. I'm finally, like, I'm putting your mom down and Jacob down. We got this. But that's a powerful blessing when you read that. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. Let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be everyone that blesseth thee. And so Isaac, and so Esau comes back with, he makes his stew of whatever wild animal he is. And he's like, Dad, I'm here with the stew. And Isaac goes, what? I just gave a blessing. In Genesis 27:33, Isaac begins to tremble uncontrollably. Who was it then, he said, who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it all before you came in, and I blessed him. I blessed that person. Indeed, he will be the one to be blessed. I can't take my words back and say, nope, God, I'm a blessing. It's all done. I get to give the new blessing now. He's like, indeed, he will be blessed. And so we see Jacob had gotten the birthright, and now he has stolen the blessing. Imagine how Esau felt. I wonder if he was just mad at Jacob for doing the Jacob thing again. Like, here's this guy stealing my stuff again. Being conniving. Or I wonder if he started to value the blessing at this point. Maybe a little too late. Now that he didn't have it. We see in our lives the lesson is that we have to be protective of God's blessings and promises. The greatest treasures of this life, the greatest treasures of this life are the blessings God has given to each one of us. The Lord does not indiscriminately bless us with no expectation of us being good stewards of his blessing. He doesn't indiscriminately say, everybody gets a blessing, you get a blessing, and you, we've seen the meme, right? You get a blessing, and you get, he wants to bless us. But we also have to be good stewards of that blessing. It's not just there forever. The blessing was there for Esau, but Esau didn't value it and essentially turned it in. And God gives us that right to do that. He's given us free choice to not choose the blessing. Good stewardship requires that we protect and preserve the blessings that God imparts to us. We should never allow these blessings to become cheapened as we go about living life. We should never take for granted all that God has done and is doing in our lives. We should never take for granted all that God has done is in doing and is doing for our lives. And that's the lesson for this week. Cherishing God's blessings. Esau now. This is the point Esau gets mad and cries out. We see it in Genesis 27:34 and 37-40. He goes, but Dad, bless me too. Bless me too. His dad's like, I can't give you the blessing. I gave it to Jacob. Okay, Dad, well, I can't get that blessing. Like, what else can I get? I can't get my Mark McGuire ball. Can I get a Jose Canseco ball? Far less, more steroids, right? Oh, some of you know this. If anybody does it, I know Ryan's enjoying the baseball analogy. Most of you maybe don't like baseball, but he's saying, just give me something. Give me something to value, like something that means something. And Isaac answered Esau. He said, look, I have made him a master over you, have given him all of his relatives as his servants, and have sustained him with grain and new wine. He's never going to need to eat. He's going to never need food or drink. He will be, good, whatever it is, and increased with goods. He'll be fat and just happy. Fat, dumb, and happy, as they call it. He goes, what then can I do for you, my son? I've given him all the good blessings. They're all gone. And Esau said to his father, do you only have one blessing, my father? Can you bless me too? Can you bless me too, my father? And so Isaac did bless him. He ended up getting the blessing, a blessing, but it was so much less of a blessing than he could have had. Genesis 27, 37 through 40. I'm going to read this. And Esau wept loudly. Then his father Isaac answered him, look, your dwelling place will be away from the richness of the land, away from the dew of the sky above. You will live by your sword and you will serve your brother. But when you rebel, you will break his yoke from your neck. I might have missed it. You know, I'm preparing for this. I'm supposed to be the one teaching the lesson here. I didn't really see a blessing in there. None of that sounded like a good thing. Like, by thy sword you will live, so I got to fight for everything. You'll serve your brother, so that scrawny little tent liver, I got to deal with him. It'll come to pass you shall have dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from your neck. Does not sound like a huge blessing. Jacob was given everything. You bless Jacob, you're going to get blessed. You curse Jacob, you're going to get cursed. That means, like, in all his interactions, things are just going to fall his way. The dice are just going to roll his way. It's just going to be like, yeah, look at this. People want to be nice to me because they know when they are, they're nice to. When people are mean to me, they're going to be cursed. I just got to go about life and live and be happy. Esau had the other way. He had to work hard. He did not value the birthright, the blessing. Sometimes it isn't until we give away, trade away, sell, or lose something that we realize how valuable it is. And that's the lesson for today. I will cherish my spiritual birthright and the blessing God has for my life. Now is the time to start defining what is valuable in your life. Now is the time to start recognizing what your spiritual birthright is and what the blessings that God has placed and wants to place in your life and has promised you, and to start to cherish them. See, even though that the Bible story, Brother Carey, is about Jacob, the lesson God is speaking to us this morning is about Esau. The lesson God is speaking into your heart this morning is about Esau. Because we have to put ourselves not in the situation of Jacob and say, I'm going to go take what's mine. We have to put ourselves in the situation of Esau and say, am I cherishing God's blessings? Do I even know what God's blessings are? God cannot make us value his blessings. We still have free will and consequences. I think about as we start to internalize this for our lives here, as we start to, we've told the story of Jacob and Esau and the surplanter and Esau not valuing his not cherishing or valuing his birthright. As we start to hit this home, what does this mean for me? What does it mean for you as you sit here? These are some things that I see. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 4. This shows us how much God wants to bless us. This is the 40 years in the wilderness, and finally God's like, okay, I've given you all the rules. You've messed around a lot. Now here's what I'm willing to do for you. He says, now if you will faithfully, sorry, I'm reading from a different version, but just there you go. Now if you will faithfully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow all his commands I am giving you today, the Lord your God will put you far above all the nations of the earth. Now, let's pause. Reminder, this is God speaking through Moses to all of the Israelites. Now, we are grafted into that because we are filled with the Holy Ghost. We are Israelites now too, not nationally or culturally, but the idea that biblically and spiritually we are heirs to Abraham's promise, okay? And so I think this applies to us too. But so this is what he says. If you faithfully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow all his commands I am giving you today, the Lord your God will put you far above the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come and overtake you because you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Your descendants will be blessed, and your lands produce, and your lands will produce, and the offspring of your livestock will produce, including the young of your young herds and the newborn of your flocks. Everything you touch will turn to gold. God's like, I want to bless you. I want these blessings to overtake you. And he's not saying that to these people with goats and cows in the desert. He's saying that to each and every one of you. I want to bless you and overtake you. But we forget the part where he says, if you are careful to follow my commands I'm giving you today, right? If you are careful to obey my statutes. You want a fun little thing I'm in the middle of here? Go start looking through all the times in the Old Testament. God says, obey my commands and follow my statutes. Oh my goodness. We like to quote the blessings. We hear the churches and the places around the world like name it and claim it. You know, Pastor Roy mentioned that, right? That one time it's like, nah, yeah, I want to name it and I'm going to claim it, but I'm going to live it too. I'm going to live it by obeying God's word. God didn't just say, here's your blessing, Sister Martha. I've got a blessing for you. Go ahead and do whatever you want in life. He said, no, if you follow my statutes, that's walking in faith. If you do the things I'm asking you to do, you'll be blessed. Psalm 68, verse 19. It says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. We have to stand on the blessings of God. Standing on the promises of God. That's our whole series, too, that we're going through. It is our responsibility to cherish the blessings of God, to buy it and sell it not, to find it and not trade it away. But to do that, we have to realize what our blessings are. Sometimes I don't think we know. We have to remind ourselves daily what they are. We have to recognize the things that are wanting to distract us from these blessings, from the promises, the temporary bowls of soup in our lives that aren't really worth anything. But in the moment, it sounds so good. I don't doubt that he was hungry. I don't doubt that he needed food. I don't doubt that maybe he was so hungry that lentils sounded good, right? But it was temporal. It was temporal. It was so short-sighted. And we have to obey God to receive them. And so the lesson, the thought I want you to walk away with is, obviously, you'll see the big idea. I will cherish my spiritual birthright and the blessings God has for my life. But I want to ask you, as you're sitting in Esau's position, what's your bowl of soup? What's your bowl of soup? What's your lentils? What's your stew? What are you taking or consuming and in turn giving up the promises of God? What are you spending your time and your energy and resources on and neglecting or despising the promises of God? Some things I think about and we see, my job. I need a job. I need to support my family. And that's an important thing. God's called me to do that. But sometimes that gets into place of the promises or the blessings, and I start to neglect the promises and the blessings. I start to put that above. I may not I'm not telling us we should quit our jobs, but I start to put my job, my career above it. I start to put my hobbies above it. Well, listen, I just need some me time. I just need some of this soup. I'm really tired. I need some soup. I need to just scroll on my phone for 2 hours, 3, 4, 5 hours. Right? I think it's easy to put our I say education, but that's just an idea of like that we're constantly learning. Whether you're, hey, I'm always reading books or podcasts or you're going to college or whatever it is, it's easy to put this up and say, I've got to do this. Yeah, but it's temporary. God is there before you go to whatever you're doing to educate. God's there while you're doing whatever you're doing to educate, and he's there afterwards, right? And so all these things, your career, your hobbies, I would even say our families in a way, right, all these things that are distracting us from the blessings and the birthright of God. It's all temporal. We're always waiting for that perfect moment to start to cherish the blessings. We see it is there. It's always going to be there. It's going to be fine, just like Esau. God's got the promise. I'm going to go. I'm blessed. It's fine. I'll get to that at some point. Right now I've got this really big project or, you know, this push in my career, this college, whatever, right? All this. This is the most important thing. And we need to do those things. But in reality, when we put them above God, that's when we start to neglect or despise his blessings. We're always waiting for that perfect moment, but we don't realize that we are trading it away with either a large decision or many, many small bites of soup. There's never a good time to make God a priority, there's never a good time. And so, now is the best time. Now is the best time. This is the challenge for today. Once again, I'm reading the big idea. I'm hitting it again. I will cherish my spiritual birthright and blessings God has for my life. I challenge you, just like before, find some time this week. Go through a lesson. Go through a couple. Go through all of them. Do it once a day. Go it once a week. I don't know. Go through this. See what else God has to speak to you on this. I did not get it all. I just wanted to get one point across, right? But if you want a little extra homework, make a list of the birthrights and the blessings God has given you. Maybe some of the promises. Maybe they're things you find in scriptural. Maybe things that you've had him promise you, right? Two, make a list of the things potentially distracting you from them. Your soup. Make a list of your soup. And lastly, pray over these lists daily. God, help me to have the right priority. I don't have it right now. God would love it when you say that because you're being honest. God, I don't have the right priority. Help me to do more of what you want. Help me to prioritize your blessing. Help me. If you sit there to the piece of paper and you can't make a list, then pray for God to help you make that list. God, show me what it is that I'm being distracted by. Make a list of the blessings and promises. Make a list of the things distracting you and pray over these lists daily. Ask God to give you the right priorities to cherish the right blessings. I want to say a prayer, then we're going to get rid of that. We're going to have you go out and do the kids, but I want to take a minute. Sister, could you put up those slides? How many people have downloaded the app? Can you give me my phone, Brother Ben? How many people have downloaded the Church Center app? Okay, this is a little plug for the Church Center app. So when you go to the Church Center app and you open it up for the first time, if you don't have it, please download it. It's got really great information in it. But when you open this up, this is the screen you see. You can see it on my phone here. Like we're not lying up there. Now, if you click the one that says God's Word for Life, go ahead to the next slide, sister. If you click this, it shows you what God's Word for Life is. It's a curriculum, 10 a.m., we grow together. And then look right there under resources. For those of you watching online, it's probably more this morning because of the snow and, you know, the Packers lost. So resources, I had to get it in there. I'm really sorry. Devotionals, if you click there, it'll send you to an email where Sister Jessica can email you a copy of this. We cannot email these out broadly due to copyright reasons. However, if you email her and say, hey, I would like a copy, she will send you a copy. There's also, there's a kids' devotional handbook book. If you'd like one of those, if you don't have one yet, you can get one of those. We can work away and get that for you. Leave it here if you want to come pick it up. And there's also, go ahead to the next slide. There's a weekly podcast that you can find that's out there. So that's another great thing. And so the last thing is at the bottom. It says series, Standing on the Promises of God. This week, Sunday, January 23rd, the topic is Cherish God's Blessings. Focus on Genesis 25, 33, 34. It tells you, hey, the kids' devotional book. Casey and I did this like the first week. We're like, what week are we on? Like, I'm one of the pastors. I sat in the meetings with Brother Roy and Jess, and then I get home, and I'm like, Casey's like, what week are we on? I'm like, I have no idea. And then my wife's like, why are we starting on week 19? I'm like, well, they explained it. I mean, I taught the lesson on it. Like, I thought I explained it. I don't know. The reason is that we're starting, the series starts in October, and we're just coming in so that the date always matches. So when you see this, it says January 23rd, 2022 on it. We didn't want to have to cross that out all the time. We're just coming in right where they're at. It's a four-year program, and we'll just keep going through it. But so if you're ever wondering, what is the thing this week? So the app is so powerful to give you good information. And she puts in there the lesson, big idea. I will cherish my spiritual birthright and the blessings God has for my life. So use the app. If you can all stand. We're going to say a prayer, and then I encourage you to go out and get your children, pick them up from class, and get ready for the service that starts at 11. So as we walk away, let's think about Esau and how that impacts us. What's the soup in our lives? Okay, let's pray that God would reveal that to us this morning and help us to prioritize the right things in our life. Jesus, Father, thank you so much for the things you've done for us, the blessings and the birthright that you have given us because we have been filled with your Spirit. God, I pray, Lord God, that you would show us the blessings and the birth. Let us see it. Let us value it, God. Maybe we don't value it every moment the way we should, or every day or every week the way we should. God, help us to value it the way we should. Help us to prioritize it. God, open our eyes to see the soup that we're choosing over this, God. Help us to see the lentils, God, that are the temporary food, the temporary whatever that we're choosing as a priority over your blessing. God, reveal it to us, God. Help us, Lord, to make it a priority to cherish the blessings that you have given us, to stand on the promises regardless of what comes, to walk in faith. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You can be dismissed and get your children.